Welcome to the Mint Euro Special 2016 podcast. Over the next 30 days, Ankit Prasad will take you through some of the most exciting happenings from on and off the football field.
Hello and welcome to European Nights, a show about football. Today is Friday the 1st of July and I'm Ankit Prasad. Portugal have dramatically made it through to the semi-finals of Euro 2016 by defeating Poland in an incredibly tense penalty shootout. It had taken just 2 minutes for Poland to open the scoring at the Velodrome. Portugal were lax in defence and this allowed Grosicki to cross the ball for Robert Lewandowski, who made no mistake with his first time finish to open his account for the tournament. Portugal, who are used to hairy moments at this tournament, slowly got back into their rhythm though, and after a period where they came close a number of times, Renato Sanches, starting his first game in the competition, played a 1-2 with Nani, then cut inside on his left foot and powered in a curler with the aid of a tiny deflection into the keeper's near post. It was his first goal for the national side and it brought them level. Then Portugal had a couple of more chances to score before the interval, but they didn't take them. The second half onwards though, both sides were much more risk averse. Ronaldo missed a couple of golden chances, including a pair of fresh air kicks with no one but the keeper to beat, while Lewandowski went AWOL and Milik had a couple of his usual cracks. It went into extra time and those 30 minutes were cagey as well, with Ricardo Quaresma and João Moutinho coming on and creating a few untaken chances. Finally, it was penalties once again, and in front of a nervous 62,000 strong crowd, Ronaldo and Lewandowski scored their penalties expertly. Then Renato Sanches, João Moutinho and Nani scored for Portugal, while Milik and Glick scored for the Poles. But then, Jakub Blasikowski's penalty was saved expertly by Rui Patricio, giving Quaresma the chance to send his side through, which he did. So Poland are out and the Portuguese move ahead. Now, while Portugal have been here before, though not winning a single match in regulation time is a new one even for them, the two sides that are vying to face them in the first semi-final are completely new to this stage, at least in the last few generations, but with any luck will be trying to join the pantheon of sides who are regulars at the tail end of competitions. Belgium and Wales will run into one another tonight at 12:30 at the Stade Pierre Mauroy, and in many ways this is the highlight fixture of these quarterfinals. I mean, sure, Italy vs Germany is one of the great footballing rivalries, and a two-sided rivalry that too, not like some of these fancy teams you get these days who like to think that they have illustrious rivals. For a long time, Belgium and Wales were like that. Belgium were obviously rivals with the Netherlands and France and Germany, while Wales have their British Isles. Now though, they've got an opportunity to forge something new in football, a rivalry at both player and national level. Don't get us wrong, Belgium have been here before. They were enormously successful at the World Cups between 1982 and 2002, even reaching the semi-finals in the 1986 FIFA World Cup, where they were beaten by Maradona, and that's nothing to be ashamed about. Even 2 years ago, this current crop were beaten by the Argentines by a solitary early goal by Gonzalo Higuain. They just don't have a similar record at the Euros and haven't been considered a legitimate threat in a really long time. Wales, on the other hand, have a completely meagre history, having made it to only one major tournament before this, the 1958 World Cup. But while they were in Sweden for that competition, they were closely involved in one of the most magical and seminal moments in all of football. Having made it through a group that also contained the hosts Sweden, Hungary and Mexico by beating Hungary in a playoff, which was weird, Wales' Dragons would meet Brazil in the quarterfinals. Now you must consider how this matchup must have sounded back then. Neither side had a World Cup to its name yet. Brazil have 5 now, but 58 years ago, they were yet to make the sport their divine right, as they did several times in later decades. And Wales, who had up until that point considered themselves as one of the best footballing sides in their own home nation's world, were just beginning to discover that there's more to the game than that. It would be, we can imagine, an epic clash of styles, with the Welsh thinking long and straight like they do in rugby, while Brazil played like they would in the streets of Rio, with close skill to get them out of tight situations and all manner of deception. However, the match, in the absence of a rewatchable YouTube video, will nonetheless be remembered for a long time yet for one thing, and of that there is more than sufficient evidence. we know as a certainty that that match in Gothenburg was won by Brazil because of a solitary goal scored by a then 17-year-old Edson Arantes do Nascimento, who we better now know as Pelé, still considered the greatest footballer in history. That was his first goal for the Seleção and made him the youngest goal scorer in the history of the World Cup. In fact, a look at the record books tells us that Pelé is still the youngest ever goal scorer, hat-trick scorer and final scorer, all from that same tournament. So what were you doing at 17? Now, we've seen Pelé's goal. A pass comes in to him while he's standing on Wales' penalty spot being closely marked. He receives it on his chest and as his marker steps forward to challenge, he flicks the ball and turns on the spot suddenly, beating his marker completely and takes a shot at goal which evades another defender and nestles in the far corner of the net. The Brazilians fall on top of one another inside the goal itself, as if they knew even back then what this moment would eventually lead to. For Game of Thrones fans, it was like Ned Stark hearing the sound of battle and the clash of steel on steel when he signed up his daughter Arya for her dancing lessons. We'll catch up with Pelé's exploits at a more appropriate date, as his is in many ways one of the greatest stories in football. But coming back to this match, yes, both sides aren't non-entities, but they really do this time have the chance to do something truly incredible. Between the two of them, Belgium really do appear to have done something right. The emergence of their talented youngsters cannot be considered to be just a flash in the pan. There are too many of them for that. For instance, in just their last match, Michy Batshuayi came on, scored and promptly signed for Chelsea and will now play in the Premier League. Belgium stars are household names, that's for sure, and some of them are world class. Versus Hungary in the last match, it felt like Eden Hazard finally rediscovered his form after a year in an ego-fueled exile. He of course has the playmaking services of Kevin De Bruyne to count on, but the threat also comes from other places. It'll be interesting to see if coach Mark Wilmots, who gives as good as he gets, will replace a tired-looking Romelu Lukaku with Batshuayi, but Wales have more to fear than just that. Rajda Nainggolan looks funny and maybe a smoker, but he's been doing a job in midfield in Italy for years and years now, and he's shown us that he can shoot, that's for sure. And their defence, made of a couple of Premier League players, isn't too bad either. One thing we can be sure of is that Fellaini will not be starting, and that is Belgium's biggest advantage. The Welsh, on the other hand, will know the threat they face. Belgium are a side bursting with talent. Even between the sticks, they have one of the best in the world, Thibaut Courtois. And also, that finally, after all manner of underachieving in terms of quality of football, Belgium are now hitting their stride. So clearly, Fellaini is a very important player to not have. What Wales have on their side though is teamwork. And before you roll your eyes, give us an ear. It's not the Northern Ireland type of teamwork, where we'll win as a team and we'll die as a team. But it's the kind of teamwork that is meant to exploit the strengths of their two main players. There's no two ways about it. Gareth Bale is one of the biggest superstars and individual destroyers in these championships, but it's foolish to assume that he is Wales' only threat. Aaron Ramsey has been incredible so far, and worst of all for Belgium, he's operating at peak efficiency, with even a goal and a couple of assists under his belt. He will try to impose his will upon the match with the kind of technical ability in midfield that Britain just doesn't produce anymore since the days of Giggs, Keane, Scholes and Beckham at Manchester United. Ramsey is cut from a similar cloth in the way that you can never rule him out of playing a match-winning role and even scoring. He even has the likes of Joe Allen alongside him, and the Welsh Pirlo will provide all kinds of tactical support versus players that he will know quite well. Bale had beaten Northern Ireland with what we're still convinced was a deliberate piece of impudent skill, triggering an own goal with a wicked cross. He can do that and more, and if it's an open game, you wouldn't want to be the one who has to keep up with him. In this match, we have two exponents of a new kind of football trick. It entails the player passing the ball and himself receiving it. Bale invented the trick years ago when he announced his arrival by destroying then-European champions Inter Milan almost single-handedly. Brazilian wingback Maicon is still dizzy from that experience. And Hazard did it against the Hungarians, albeit with a little help from a deceptively not offside teammate. This match has the potential to give us that kind of individual skill, and that's one of the reasons we're so excited. It is perhaps too close to call, and we're predicting an open encounter to begin with, but if things remain level till the second half, it will become tense like last night, which will make things ripe for a moment of individual brilliance to win it at some point. We are going for a 1-0 win for Wales in regular time, with Bale grabbing a late winner with a free kick. Before we go, we're going to tell you something about Aaron Ramsey that is a little out there. There is somewhat of a curse of Ramsey, which has done the rounds online ever since people began to make a connection between his scoring and famous people elsewhere dying. It is football's butterfly effect, and it applies neatly to the demise of luminaries such as Osama bin Laden, Steve Jobs, Muammar Gaddafi, Whitney Houston, Paul Walker, Robin Williams, David Bowie, Alan Rickman, and most recently, Nancy Reagan. There are all manner of renowned people on that list. Some are just pure evil, like bin Laden and Gaddafi, while others were great entertainers like Robin Williams, David Bowie, and Whitney Houston. One was even a Hogwarts professor who specialized in the dark arts. And who killed Snape? Voldemort did. So Ramsey may well be a dark wizard in disguise. And he is also surely related to Ramsay Bolton, the evilest guy in reality or fiction. So yeah, be scared. Be very, very scared. Avada Kedavra!